That's a group called the Carolina Chocolate Drops. They've been become sort of favorites of mine, and that's from their CD called Heritage. The tune, Georgie Buck, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is your connection to local performances, and we have on our show today, playing for us live, a group based in Champaign-Urbana called Bones, Jugs, and Harmony. They've got a couple of gigs this weekend. On Friday night, they're going to be at the High Note in Pekin, 9 o'clock show. Then they're going to St. Louis Saturday. They're going to be doing a lot of driving this weekend for a show at 3 in the afternoon at the Grove Fest there. And then they're going to drive straight back to Urbana for a show then Saturday night at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana with another group called Wagon Fire, who we haven't had on this show yet, but maybe that'll happen at some point. So we have, I say we have Bones, Jugs, and Harmony, but we really have 3/4 of Bones, Jugs, and
That's
Harmony.
True.
We're missing Tim Berg. But we have J.P. Gogan, Charlie Harris, and Cody Jensen with us. Two of them, Charlie and Cody, have been on the show, Charlie at least a couple times, and Cody probably several times with different types of groups. Mm-hmm. And just as we were listening to this, I mean, we put this on, and J.P., I think you said, oh, it's nice to hear the Carolina Chocolate Drops, which you knew obviously well enough to recognize the tune. And then you said these guys were hearing a performance of theirs was one of the inspirations for your group, which I did not know in advance.
Yeah, last November was a big month. Devil in a Woodpile was one of the headliners at the Folk and Roots Festival. And it was the first time I had seen them. Any of us had seen them. And then Carolina Chocolate Drops were here later in the month at Krannert Center. And for me, part of the idea with like this group was I wanted to play more Washboard. That was a big thing in Devil in a Woodpile, and I wanted to play more Bones. That's a big thing in Carolina Chocolate Drops, so I just wanted to start a group where I could do that.
And Kazoo,
of course.
Mm-hmm. So you said meaning you sort of organized this group?
Well, the beginnings of the idea were mine just from that impetus of wanting to play those instruments. Charlie was in Argentina at the time, and I remember sending him a message just saying, you're in a new band. I'll tell you about it when you get back.
Start thinking of names.
Yeah, start thinking of names, I told him. And then JP is a really wonderful fingerstyle guitar player and a good friend of mine. So I asked him pretty quickly if he was interested, and he was.
You didn't tell him he was going to be in the band?
No. Well, he was around. So, and we hadn't played in a band. We played in a band a while back, but we weren't currently in 4 bands together or whatever Charlie and I were. So it was just kind of understood that if a new band was happening that I was in, Charlie would be in there as well.
What's the appeal of the Bones, which I want to talk about sort of as a separate topic coming up, and what was the other, the Washboard?
The Washboard, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess both of them, because you began life more or less as a percussionist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, percussion has certainly been my focus for most of my life, but after I graduated college, I started playing more string instruments, and I got into bluegrass, started playing banjo a lot, and I played with a group called Black Coffee Fridays, which Charlie was also part of. And
you say was, is that?
We just had our last official show because Phil Alley, the guitar player, is going to be moving to Asheville, North Carolina, so we'll still be playing in various formats of bluegrass bands around town every once in a while, but really this is our main project now. The goal is to be able to support ourselves full time from it. So that's what we're working at right now, playing a lot
from this group
exclusively.
How's that going?
It's going okay. I mean, luckily
the supporting yourself part.
Right. Well, at the beginning, there's the expectation that we're not going to support ourselves right now from it. So each of us all have a separate source of income, and everything that we're making at these shows we're putting into a band fund to kind of get a surplus.
At this point, to deal with our van troubles.
Yeah.
Right now we're in the red.
Yeah. But, we've only been together since February. So there's an initial kind of investment that's necessary, in our opinion at least, if you want to be able to support yourself at some point from it.
Since you brought up the van thing, I do have to, I'm just going to describe my image because I didn't see this actually happen, but you all got here on bicycles, including Charlie with your bass. I'm talking about an upright bass here, folks, not an electric bass, which is a little more feasible.
It's not a new thing for us. We've actually been able to. Oh, sorry, I'm getting the mic. We've been able to make it to a lot of our local gigs just on our bikes.
And this is just because you felt like it, or?
Well, Cody has a magnetic force for car trouble. It's an interesting thing. We don't really know what I don't know what it is. Is it in the beard?
It must be.
No,
well,
it was before the beard.
It was still. Yeah. It's been ever since my first car. I've had a lot of car troubles, and so
he had a.
But
Jeep.
You seem to be able to make it around on a terrible, crappy bike with no problem at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've upgraded my bike now. So.
So, anyways, he had a Jeep. And JP and I don't own a vehicle, and Cody just kind of said, well, I don't want to drive the car if I don't have to, between gas money and between the brakes.
My hatred for cars.
<You're>, yeah. So we started biking around town, and JP had found one of those baby carts with the nylon walls and the nylon bottom, and a metal bracing on the bottom. People can't see me gesturing, explaining how this is built. But so we use that, put the base in it, lean it against some of the bracing. I tie it up with a rope. Then we kind of like stuff other instruments in around it. And then Cody has a flat one that he bungees and
ratchets.
And ratchets his drum set down and tuck everything in and check it for security and start riding along.
Yes. This is a video I would like to get, how people actually get to WILL for live and local.
Yeah.
Be one of the more interesting ones. Well, we should have you guys play a tune. We heard one of the groups that inspired you. Let's hear what the inspiration wrought.
All right.
Bones, Jugs, and Harmony, live on Live and Local.
Your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that have dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. Keeps you ever gentle on my mind. And it's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that binds me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory. For hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the dust jugs and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence. Tears of joy might stain my face, and the summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. Cauldron in some train yard, my beard a ruffle and coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind, ever gentle on my mind.
Bones, Jugs, and Harmony. And we actually heard the Bones and a Jug and, well, Harmony, both vocal and from the banjo as well as some melodic.
We're quite literal.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you started with a tune that had both of those. Mm-hmm. I imagine there are some that have neither or only one. So Tim Berg not with you, what would he have brought to the mix instrumentally?
Well, when we do this kind of like stripped down setup, we would use the quijada and the bones.
Quijada is?
Quijada is the jawbone from a donkey.
Which is right here. I've been seeing this on the floor and wondering what it came from.
So you get two different sounds from it. If you kind of punch the fat part of the jaw, then it gets that. It vibrates and it makes the teeth rattle, and that's where that buzz comes from.
Makes my teeth rattle.
Yeah. And then you get a sharper sound by scraping across the teeth with the stick. And this it's a folkloric instrument from Peru, but it found its way into Western culture largely because of John Cage, who wrote parts for quijada in a couple of his percussion pieces. And then it was adapted into an easier instrument to find and make, called a vibraslap, and it's basically just meant to emulate the sound of that, but it uses wood and metal components rather than bone and teeth.
I'm actually writing some of this down for a little more information later, because this is stuff I didn't know. Certainly didn't know that it was the predecessor of the, what did you say,
the vibraslap. Yeah.
I actually know what one of those is. Not all of our listeners may, but you'd recognize the sound. Mm-hmm. Not entirely unlike the sound that he just made there.
So going back to your question about Tim, though.
Yeah, what he'd be playing here.
He'd be playing percussion, steel pan. He plays some xylophone, and he swaps in on drum set. And there's even a song that he plays guitar on that we do.
So this song we'd have had probably...
He would have probably played quijada.
The
thing,
or a snare with brushes. We've done it that way.
But the thing is, this is kind of a separate setup than what most people have seen. It's something we've been working on to be able to play longer sets and not have to sustain an amazingly high level of energy for like a 3-hour show or something like that. It's and it's also a chance for us to explore some more mellow sounds. But usually, I mean, what most people are accustomed to seeing from us is a lot higher energy ragtime using the xylophone, and we've started doing some calypso tunes with a steel pan, and then some original music that's influenced by those things.
This one, obviously, not an original tune. I recognized it immediately.
Yep.
Do you tend to do a pretty even mix of originals versus other?
It's about 50-50 at this point.
This one, hardly an old-time tune.
Yeah.
When we talk about bones and jugs, I tend to and banjos for that matter, I tend to think of old-time tunes.
Mm-hmm.
They creep in, I imagine, in various forms.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, we'll be doing a couple today. Is spoiling on radio, is that appropriate? Should I hold it?
I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, we'll be doing...
Something to look forward to.
Cool, yeah. We'll be doing... what we're about to do is one with this exact setup that is a song I wrote and Cody and I arranged together that we call Pocket Sand.
Mm-hmm.
And
in an old-time style.
In an old-time style. But obviously not so old-time. Within the last 6 months or so. And then we'll be doing CC Ryder. JP will switch over to the guitar and I'll play the upright bass. And we'll do that in a kind of old-time style, and that's definitely an old tune.
Mm-hmm.
We do it kind of how Mississippi John Hurt did it, but adapted for our group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we'll come to that. I want to get back to the high-energy notion, because if one reads looks at your Facebook page, they find that you had the idea of a high-energy party when you started. What does that mean exactly? Because I don't, when I hear the groups that you mentioned before, that somehow high-energy party is not the first thing I think of.
Well, so there's we're all pretty connected with the folk music scene. Go to a lot of folk shows, but we're friends with lots of younger people who like to go to dance venues, and particularly electronic dance clubs is sort of the thing these days, and packing clubs. And so
what
we
kind
were
of clubs,
you know, like Canopy Club,
packing
the club, getting a lot of people to come out. So we were trying, at least in how I understood the formation of this group, was let's play something that could sort of bridge the gap that, you know, the folk crowd would come out for, but younger people could come and dance to, present ourselves on stage like we're bringing a lot of energy, getting people moving, basically making it impossible for people not to move. That's a lot of our music is sort of doing that.
Have you gotten the response of that sort that you hoped for?
Yeah, definitely.
And
to kind of build on what JP was saying and what you mentioned that you read from our bio, the high energy party in an acoustic setting. So we can certainly amplify everything and play in a club, the Canopy Club or Cowboy Monkey. We've played shows there, but we can also bike to downtown Champaign and set up outside the Blind Pig and have no amplification whatsoever and just start playing. And we've had the same response there. People really enjoy it and they feel inclined to dance even. So it was really that, the acoustic part of that was important. It's we feel like we can play anywhere.
And the acoustic was important so that you could play anywhere or for other reasons? Then?
Yeah.
I mean, we enjoy the timbres and the we can also play not loudly, you know.
Like this stuff.
We can play this stuff. And, I mean, even we could do the full band setting in a situation in which people don't want to be, like, bombarded with high decibel music.
Mm-hmm. So another way of bridging the gap, I guess, hyping up the acoustics. Mm-hmm. Acoustic instruments to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So were you sort of telling us the order in which you're going to do these songs?
Yeah, early? I started. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so
in
I
which
said,
case, why don't we go to the original, the old-timey original.
Great. Sounds like a banjo.
All right.
Friends, or leave them in the sand. I'll find some more around the railroad track.
talk again to those dreams. I'd ask them, how you getting on? Where have you been? Where are you going? Glory, we both keep growing. I can't take my dreams with me when I go. They don't fit in my pocket or on my back. I give them to my friends or I leave them in the sand. I find some more.
Bones, Jugs, and Harmony here on Live and Local, live in our studio on FM 90.9. You have a couple of chances to hear them in our area this weekend. Friday night at 9 o'clock, they'll be at the High Note in Pekin, and then Saturday night at 9 o'clock, they'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana with a group called Wagon Fire. If you like what you're hearing on the show, whether today or any other day, you have the opportunity to take WILL with you, hear this show again, or hear any other shows that you might have missed. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, the new WYNL app is free. Allows you to stream our AM and FM stations as well as listen to those past episodes. For more information about how to find the WYNL radio app in the App Store or Google Play, you can visit our website at will.illinois.edu. We have support today from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. J.P. Gogan, Cody Jensen, and Charlie Harris are our group today. Tim Berg will join them at... I assume for both gigs this weekend. Mm-hmm. And JP, since you've been playing the jug, I have to ask: can one tune a jug?
Nope. So, you know, when I first started playing the jug, I thought just anyone would work. So I got a Carlo Rossi jug, and I think at our first practice, we all drank it together. I found out after watching a few videos online and reading up about it that the thinner the material, the more sort of resonant the frequency, like the fundamental frequency of the body. And that's actually a bad thing. So then I started looking for an antique jug, and so the one I'm playing has a very thick wall. So you can't really play it like you'd play a beer bottle where you sort of blow over it and get that fundamental pitch. Instead, the pitch comes all from your lips, and the chamber just resonates it and makes it louder. So there's no actual, there's a subtle fundamental frequency to that, but it's mostly just my lips that are making the timbre.
So showed like just what you're doing with your lips minus the jug, right?
All right, so minus the jug, it kind of sounds terrible. I'll do it. So it's just,
So you're not singing into it. It's sort of like playing a brass instrument.
It's just like a brass instrument,
buzzing.
Yeah.
You kind of feel comfortable with that from the didgeridoo.
Yeah, so when I was... when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I went to visit my sister in college, and her roommate had a didgeridoo, and they taught me how to play it. And then I went home, and not really knowing much about traditional Aboriginal instruments in any sort of way, I just made one out of PVC. And so I've always like had one and played it. So I had a bit of the timbre, the embouchure of playing a very flappy lip instrument. So when I started picking up the jug and playing it, it kind of came natural to me.
A difference between the didgeridoo and the jug is that you can't really change the pitch of the didgeridoo very easily.
You're right. You're getting the fundamental frequency of the body with the didge, but you can get the overtones, and then you can also bend it a little bit with, extending that chamber into your throat and kind of opening up your throat, and you can kind of get some yoing sort of changes.
So you're changing the tone more than anything.
Yeah.
With that one. Mm-hmm. And, it's sort of fun. I mean, I've never tried to play a jug. So I was trying to see what you were doing. No, I'm not going to start right now. Charlie's trying to hand me the jug. I'll just say it's too heavy for me.
You know, it works really well.
It is very heavy.
It's just a milk jug works pretty well, actually. Just a gallon milk container, plastic.
They're a lot lighter, too.
A lot lighter.
Plastic one will work? Mm-hmm. No, that is a thin wall.
That's a thin wall, yeah. So you get that whole wall vibrating, but you don't get the pitch of it very much.
And what about the bones? I know that some sets of bones are in fact bones, and some are made of plastic, and some are made of I don't know what all else.
Yeah.
These look like bones.
Yeah, these are bones.
Do they come from that same donkey?
No. These are actually from the shin bones of a cow, and they make them from ribs as well. And then there's also all manner of wood bones. And we actually, we recently entered into a partnership with the Bone Dry Musical Instrument Company. And so here's some wood bones from them. Oh, got to get used to it.
Try the other. Great.
Oh, yeah.
So the technique is different depending upon what they're made of?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, some, you know, these are a little bit lighter than the bones, and those are what I've been playing, you know, for the last 20 minutes here, so I'm kind of used to that. You can also mix and match. So this is a bone and a wood. So a little more mellow than two bones, but a little more sharp than two wooden bones, so...
So these are the fine points of...
Come to our show, yeah, and we'll talk your head off about bones for a long time.
So you don't have to come to our show if you just find one of us.
Yeah, anywhere.
Talking about bones.
Yeah. And so so that partnership that we have with Bone Dry, we sell their bones at our shows. So if anyone is interested in learning about the bones, they can come to a show and purchase a pair of bones and get a free 5-minute lesson with the purchase of a pair of bones. Yeah.
From whom did you learn the bones?
The first time I saw bones was my freshman year of college. An LA studio percussionist named Brad Dutz, who's originally from Decatur, came and did a master class at U of I. And he was stressing that one of the most important things he did in his career was just learn an array of instruments. And he was like, for example, I've been playing the bones the last couple of years. And he got out some bones and, you know, started playing. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So I actually bought my first pair of bones then. And I practiced it a little bit, but I didn't get very into it. There were so many other things to be worrying about with school. And then flash forward to last November, saw the Carolina Chocolate Drops and was re-inspired to pick up the bones. So that was really when I started playing in earnest, was last November. And I just kind of, I watched Dom Flemons' How to Play the Bones video on YouTube, Dom Flemons from the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and that was really the only instruction I had, and I just kind of figured it out from there.
These are things that, I noticed that on, I'm going in three different directions here at once, so let me just stop and go in one direction. I noticed on your schedule that you're going to be going up to Chicago later this month for a jug band competition. How much inspiration do you take from, and I assume that's an obvious answer, from old jug bands, which are really what? You know, they're not bands of people playing only the jug.
Correct, jug band is a pretty loose term. Sometimes, you don't have to even have a jug to be considered a jug band. It's really characterized by the idea that the band uses a lot of homemade or cheaply made instruments. So the Memphis Jug Band was probably the first well-documented jug band, at least, in the late 20s and early 30s. And they had, you know, rather than a kazoo, it was kind of a homemade kazoo where they would use a comb and tissue paper. And they did have a jug and a lot of vocals, and they had a harmonica. But it was really just kind of cheaply made or homemade instruments that characterized it.
As far as the competition goes, that's their prerequisite, is that you have to have two instruments that are either, well, a jug or something from the kitchen or something that's cheap.
Mm-hmm. They actually say homemade or cheaply made. Yeah.
Whether jug or not.
Yeah.
Whether jug or not, yeah.
Washboard fits jug into that as well.
Jug or not.
Jug. Huh. Yeah.
Sorry, that was an accident. These things sometimes happen on live radio. Well, I'm trying to, I saw you guys at the farmer's market in Urbana, and had not known that you were around at that point, and for that matter, it might have been not that long after you got started. And I thought it seemed like a lot of fun. And it seemed like part of the gist of your group is, at least then when you had the big xylophone out there was a mix of this, you know, the old found instruments with some newer things, like you just picked up a resonator guitar. That, I mean, is that a typical, or either of those typical for a jug band?
Xylophone, definitely not.
Definitely not, yeah. And a lot of old jug bands have a guitar. The reason I got a resonator is because I needed to compete with a drum set and a xylophone.
Because it's louder.
They're both very loud, yeah. So I got this to up my timbre, up my volume level.
Without,
I also like the sound of it.
Without amplification.
Yeah, without amplification, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you are ready to do, this is now the actual old time tune.
It's an old tune.
I don't know. Old time might be a loaded term.
It's been done by a lot of different groups in a lot of different styles. It's called CC Rider. And JP has a lot of experience. He's learned a ton of Mississippi John Hurt fingerstyle tunes. And so this is kind of based on the Mississippi John Hurt version, but it's not just solo guitar. We added the quijada and the bass to it.
Okay.
Great.
Bones, Jugs, and Harmony here on Live and Local.
Nothing but a good woman on your mind. The blues ain't nothing but a good woman on your mind. Well, the blues ain't nothing but a good woman on your mind. Won't you see, see, Rider? You see what you have done. You done made me love you. Now your man done come. Made me love you. Now your man done come. Well, you made me love you now that your man done come. And I told you, baby, and I told your mama too. You know you're 3 times 7 and you know what you wanna do. But 3 times 7 and you know what you wanna do. And you're 3 times 7 and you know what you wanna do. Won't you see, see, Rider? You see what you have done. You done made me love you. Now your man done come. Made me love you, now your man done come. And you made me love you, now that your man done come. Second mind, you know I wouldn't be sitting here wringing my hands and crying. I wouldn't be sitting here wringing my hands and crying. Wouldn't be sitting here wringing my hands and crying. Well, CC Rider, won't you see what you have done? You done made me love you, now your man done come. Made me love you, now your man done come. Yo 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 man done come.
That was JP. You know, I actually forgot. Is it Gogan?
Gogan.
I was going to say Goggin. I didn't think that was right.
It's about 20% of the time people pronounce my last name right.
Well,
so you're fine.
I try to do what I'm told. So
the weirdest is when I get
God.
Weirdest when I get mail and it's like G-R-O-G-J-E-N. It's like totally just added letters and Who knows?
Well, that's hard to explain. Well, in any event, JP on the lead vocal there, Cody Jensen and Charlie Harris singing back up, and Cody on the Quijada.
Quijada, yeah.
And Charlie on the instrument I'm accustomed to seeing you with, which is the bass. Is that is that your main thing? Is that what you started with?
In terms of playing instruments in my career?
Yeah.
I actually started playing the guitar, the acoustic guitar, learning these kinds of songs, learning with a flat pick, kind of like the bluegrass players. And then, what was it, 2 years ago or so? No, about 4 or 5 years ago, I got an electric bass as a gift on my birthday. And I had an electric bass, so I joined a band, because quite literally, he was needed a bass player, and I said, well, I have one. And he's like, okay, you're in. And so I learned to play by playing in a band, and then I played the electric bass, so Cody, when he finished school doing classical performance, percussion, he asked me to play bass in the bands. And then Sam Payne, a great guitar player in the area, bought an upright bass pretty much to get a bass in our bluegrass band.
Yeah, well, it was for a lot for the Urbana Hootenanny. He wanted to have kind of like a house bass for people to play on, so he bought a bass. And Charlie and me, whenever Charlie wasn't there, kind of became the de facto house bass players just out of necessity. Everyone always needs a bass player, and seems like there's not ever enough around. So.
Kind of like utility thing. But so Sam Payne bought this bass, but he didn't have room in his house for it. And I did. The place I was living had plenty of room, so I held on to it and got to learn it because I had one. Kind of just like I had basses, so.
And is this that bass?
No, this I got at a shop in Chicago.
Over the summer sometime,
Over the summer, not long ago.
Well, when you said you had electric bass and so you joined a band, or you got an electric bass and so you joined a band without actually having known how to play it.
It's a deceptive statement because I had learned acoustic guitar, which about 4/6 of the information is identical.
Is identical. Yeah. Well, what I was getting at is it sounds like that to be in a band like this one, you're going to have to learn instruments that you didn't know how to play before.
A little bit, yeah. We've kind of made it a requirement that everyone learns the bones if they're going to be in the band. But other than that, it's and the Quijada was a new one, kind of. But other than that, we've just kind of tried to play to our strengths a little bit, and we do a lot of instrument switches. But it's pretty much because people can play multiple instruments already.
Well, the bones and the jug being the examples of because
right. I did learn the jug for this band.
The bones, and the Quijada, I can say with confidence, were new.
And can everybody do all three of those then?
No, JP's our jug player.
He is the jug player.
Yeah. We just do the jug when Charlie's playing banjo or guitar.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a moment in actually the first song, when your jug playing made me look over and think, now did somebody suddenly pick up the bass and I had snoozed off or something like that, dozed off? But in fact, I had not, and you weren't. You were doing a bass effect on the...
Yeah.
A bowed bass effect.
JP's gotten really good at the jug.
I just listen to, while I'm at work, I listen to a lot of old jug band music. And so I'm like, oh, that's how you do that. Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't hit the note, you just slide into it.
Or if it starts to be out of tune, you just slide into tune.
Yeah.
I guess that can
Not
happen
so
as well.
Not so different than the bass, really.
Yeah.
Well, it may just depend who's playing it or them. Somebody sneaks in some wind instruments every once in a while?
A really good friend of ours, Jacob Barton, who is locally famous for inventing or co-inventing the Utterbot. He has played a lot on our recordings, and he's played a bunch of shows with us. We're kind of at odds with scheduling right now, but we've done a lot of work with him in the past and hope to work more with him in the future.
So is he the one that... I mean, because I see you have listed here a clarinet and trombone.
Mm-hmm.
Does he do
plays clarinet, trombone, and utterbot are kind of the three main ones that he does with us.
So you have to say what an utterbot is.
An utterbot is a bottle, glass bottle with the bottom cut off, and then a rubber glove securely attached. And then, so that's bot, half a bottle, bot, and then the udder would be the rubber glove, so that's Utterbot. And you can adjust the level of the water inside the bottle by squeezing the udder or rubber glove at the bottom. And so you can make all sorts, you know, that you actually do blow across and get the fundamental pitch out, but you're changing the fundamental pitch based on the water level. And Jacob is virtuosically good at it. Really, really good.
Pretty phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have him here today.
Unfortunately.
I have seen him actually play that instrument, and honestly, I can't remember exactly what it sounded like, but
kind of like a slide whistle
or a theremin, actually, like a theremin.
Okay, well, then that's going down a whole nother
acoustic theremin. Yeah. For listeners that might be confused by that, it's the phenomenon when if you have a glass bottle of a beverage, whatever it may be, and you
ginger ale,
sure, Coca-Cola, whatever it is, you blow across the top, and you can get it to whistle sort of, and if you take a big gulp. And you have less liquid in there, and you do the same thing, it will sound, the pitch will be different. Mm-hmm. So essentially what he's doing with the glove is adding or subtracting liquid.
So as you add liquid, the pitch goes up. As you subtract liquid, the pitch goes down because the chamber gets smaller or larger.
Exactly.
Respectively.
Yeah. You got it.
So it gets really exciting when he wants to play really high notes because there's water splashing everywhere.
Yeah. True?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Okay.
So,
well, then.
It's happened.
Which means he can't play those high notes for very long because the water will be gone.
Yes.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. And some notes he can't really... there's a range.
Obviously. Yeah.
It's Bones, Jugs, and Harmony on Live and Local here today. They are going to be playing Friday night at 9 o'clock in Pekin, Illinois, at the High Note, and then Saturday night at 9 o'clock in Urbana at the Iron Post. And the group Wagon Fire will be on that show. Opening, closing, are you opening?
They'll be playing first at 9, and we'll be playing after them.
And Wagon Fire is what sort of band?
It's Gypsy Jazz.
Gypsy, oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, really, really good band in the style of Django Reinhardt.
I need to look them up and see about having a giving them a turn.
Earlier we had mentioned Phil Alley, who Cody and I played with, and I just feel obligated to mention that that'll be one of his last performance in town. He's moving to Asheville.
So he's also in Wagon Fire.
He's in Wagon Fire.
He's the lead guitar player in Wagon Fire. Oh. But I believe they will be continuing on after he leaves with a different guitar player.
Sure.
They're playing at the Folk and Roots Festival as well.
Okay. Well, our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruisin' Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at SousaArchives.org. What would you gentlemen like to do next?
We are going to do a song by the Wood Brothers, who are one of our favorite bands. They're currently touring and still recording music. Probably the better known of the Wood Brothers is Chris Wood, who is the bass player for Modesky Martin Wood, kind of a well-known modern jazz group. But they do more of like a acoustic blues kind of sound, and we are going to do their song, One More Day, in a little bit different instrumentation here, with Jug playing the bass part, no drums, and quijada instead, and a resonator guitar rather than acoustic guitars. So,
okay.
Here we go. This is One More Day by the Wood Brothers.
I seen you in a sadness. I seen you when you'd hope to die. I heard you say, well, you lost and you couldn't be found. What did I tell you? What did I say? Just when your faith is gone, one more day. I seen you with your head low, face down on the ground. I heard you say, well, you're lost and you couldn't be found. What did I tell you? What did I say? Just when your faith is gone, one more day. Next thing
morning, you're shining right back at the sun. Blowing right back at the wind. Rolling right back at the ocean. Oh, nothing's gonna do you in. Give it one more day. Give it one more day. Just when your faith is gone. Give it one more day.
Sounds like one of those endings where you should jump up and down and do the thing with the guitar. Bones, Jugs, and Harmony here on Live and Local. One More Day, the name of the tune. How do you go searching for tunes that are going to work for your peculiar instrumentation?
We force them into it.
We spend a lot of time listening to music, and we've learned a lot of tunes over the years in different groups and different instrumentations. And so we're kind of nonstop brainstorming about what music we can do and in what instrumentations. And, when we think of a song that we really want to do, we kind of mess around with it for a while to figure out what instrumentation is going to work best and if it's going to work at all for us.
What would determine no?
if someone doesn't like that song.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, we have to have consensus about the songs. But, for as far as all the high energy party stuff that we've been doing, a lot of the tunes that we've done here, they were kind of off of our list for a while until we found this setting for them, because they don't have the energy that we're trying to create, and we couldn't really force that energy into them. So like Gentle on My Mind was the first song that we played. There's no way that we would have played that with, you know, the full sound with the xylophone and plugged in and the drum set and all that. It didn't find a home until we started messing around with this mellower sound.
Do you try to dig back pretty far for some older tunes, or
One of the songs that we do is called Barrel House Woman, and it's an old blues written by Leroy Carr, and I just kind of stumbled across it on a Leroy Carr CD that I've had for years and only gave a cursory listen to the first time around. And we do it very, very different than he does it. It's just piano and acoustic guitar on his version, and we do it with the full band setup with a jug and bass, actually, both. And a tenor banjo and a drum set. And
so that's from back how long ago?
Late 20s. I don't know exactly when he wrote it. Probably around 1928, I think, was when one of the other songs on that album was written. So.
And John Hurt recorded that C.C. Ryder, the one we did. When did he record that?
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, there's a whole story behind his music, but he was one of the rediscovered artists. So initially recorded before the Depression, rediscovered in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So he's got old recordings and, I mean, still old, 60
newer
years
old,
but newer old. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you found it necessary for yourselves, or at least interesting for yourselves, to go back and read up on some of the history of the music that you're sort of backing into, I guess?
Absolutely. I read about musicians and about musical styles every day. I mean, that's something that I'm really interested in, but I am fortunate enough to be a full-time musician. So I play music for the dance classes at U of I, and I play in this band. And so that affords me a lot of time to practice and to write songs and to read about music that I'm interested in and to listen to new music a lot.
And to grow a really incredible beard.
Yeah. Takes a lot of effort, a lot of free time.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Go to their website, which I think is just bonesjugsharmony.com.
Bonesjugsandharmony.com.
And there are ample photos on there. Well, relatively decent number of photos on there. And you can sort of see the progress of Cody Jensen's beard.
There's definitely a progression on there. Yeah. And there's some photos of us biking to gigs on there, too. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, those I will definitely have to look at. Do we have one more tune?
Oh, we could. Yeah. What do you guys want to do?
Oh, this is unexpected.
Monkey and the Engineer?
Sure.
Or Sugar Pudding.
Let's do Monkey and the Engineer.
All right.
Monkey and the Engineer?
Yeah.
I think I heard this first as a dead acoustic tune.
Ba-dum. Ba-dum. Boom.
Okay, yeah.
So this is one that I have not looked up the origins of because I didn't bring it into the group, but... JP was saying Grateful Dead acoustic. There's definitely a version of that. David Rawlings has done a more recent version. Yeah, it's really good.
And now Bones, Jugs, and Harmony.
Oh, I can do it in G. I can do it in G here.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we moved it up two whole steps so I could sing it loudly, but I don't need to do it here. Ooh, buddy, pardon me, listeners.
So that's actually an interesting thing to address. Charlie and I have played in bluegrass bands, and one of the big aesthetics of that is the high, lonesome sound, as they call it. And it's really high vocal parts with even higher harmonies. And when both of us kind of first started singing in that style, and so we were always trying to push our range higher and expand it upwards, and what we found... with that is that you can also project a lot more if you're singing towards the top of your range. And that's something that we've definitely included in this group, especially if we're singing on the street and playing drums and xylophone and trying to sing over the top of it.
And I gather we're going to hear that right now.
We're going to do it a little bit toned down. Charlie doesn't have his capo with him, so we'll do it. Normally, we've been doing this in B, but we'll do it in G.
Okay.
Once upon a time there was an engineer. He drove a locomotive both far and near, accompanied by a monkey who'd sit on a stool and watching anything that engineer would do. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat, and he left the monkey sitting on the driver's seat. The monkey pulled the throttle, locomotive jumped the gun, and went 90 miles an hour down the mainline run. Big locomotive right on time, big locomotive coming down the line, big locomotive number 99. And they left the engineer with a worried mind. The engineer got the dispatch on the phone, and he told them all about his locomotive was gone. Dispatch got on the wire, switch operator to right, said that monkey's got that main line sewn up tight. The switch operator got the message in time, said there's a northbound living on the same damn line. Well, open up the gate, you gotta let him through the hole, cause that monkey's got that locomotive under control. Big locomotive right on time, big locomotive coming down the line, big locomotive number 99. And they left the engineer with a worried mind. Big locomotive right on time, big locomotive coming down the line, big locomotive
locomotive number 99, and they left the engineer with a worried mind. Yeah, they left the engineer with a worried mind. You know, left the engineer with a worried mind.
There you have it. Charlie Harris on the lead vocal there, and the guitar, Cody Jensen on the high harmony, semi-high harmony in that case, but the lower key, and the Quijada, the donkey jawbone there, and J.P. Gogan on the jug. They are Bones, Jugs, and Harmony, and add Tim Berg, and you'll have the complete lineup for a Friday night show at 9 o'clock at the High Note in Pekin, and Saturday night show at the Iron Post in Urbana with Wagon Fire opening on that particular show. And gentlemen, we really appreciate your coming and joining us on Live and Local today.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun.
My pleasure. I have time to mention a couple of other events going on in our listening area. Let's say tonight at Illinois College, there's a guest faculty concert by piano duo Ashley Mack and Katie Palumbo. That's going to be in Rammel Camp Chapel in Jacksonville on the campus there. And I see that was at 4 o'clock. Sorry, so that's more or less over. The Stephen Spencer Gray Jazz Trio will be at the Iron Post this evening, starting in just about a minute. And then Tito Carrillo, the wonderful jazz trumpeter, will have his band there at 8 o'clock tonight. And the Starlight Ball with music by Captains 3 will be at Harrison Park in Danville this evening at 6:30. And the weekly Gunny Sack Review is at the Yoder Center in Arthur at 7 o'clock tonight. Our broadcast is made possible by the Champaign Park District, presenting Remembering Warren, an evening with the Virginia Theater's historic Wurlitzer this Saturday at 7 p.m. Master organist Mark Herman performs vintage and contemporary pieces and accompanies a silent film and sing-along using the Virginia's collection of glass slides. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with Translator, W293 AF Danville, NPR, Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.